Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. There's only 30 reviews on this thing, and I know for a fact that there's more than 30 of you that listen to this thing. Thank God, by the way. There's more than 30 of you that listen to this thing, so it would be great if you rated and reviewed it. You know, it would be pretty awesome. What can you do? You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind, more importantly, your heart, whatever you want to talk about. You want me to talk about some things, you want to, whatever, just, you can, I'll read it. And if it's not weird or creepy, I'll read it on the air and answer it. Like, who emailed me? Brian, a couple weeks ago, and I blabbed about music for 15 minutes. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. So this is early on a Sunday morning. Early one Sunday morning, Chris was doing a podcast. Yeah, so, I was looking on Facebook before I started this morning, and one of my classmates from high school took a picture with R. Kelly, and I was thinking, like, that's, you know, it's just weird, because it's like R. Kelly has that stigma attached to him. He's kind of a pedophile. So, and she took a picture of him with him, and I was like, oh, he's probably not going to do anything to her because she's 36. But if it was, you know, 20 years ago, maybe she'd be on E! True Hollywood Story about how he, anyway, that just made me think about that. I don't know even why I opened the show with that, but it just made me think about that when I was, all right. So I'm sitting here. I'm in beautiful downtown Schenectady, New York. I'm at the Parker Inn and Suites. I just got done doing a weekend of shows in Troy, New York, and did a show at Center Street Pub in Schenectady, and I had a really good time. Like, I got up here on Friday. I came, got off work, came up here, drove about 2.5 hours from White Plains, and drove up the Taconic, which would, for the most part, be a decent drive if it wasn't raining so much. And it wasn't raining. It was raining enough to where bad shit could have happened. And the Taconic Parkway, if anybody's ever driven it, if you know New York at all, I don't think I had ever driven it for that long of a stretch, but it's really just two lanes. And then there's like a segment of time where you're driving, and it's just like a wall. Like, if you're kind of you're in the mountains, but it just, the way people drive when it rains is just mind-boggling to me, because it just seems like they want to speed up when it's raining, and that's the most dangerous time. I think the most dangerous weather, I mean, other than snow, I think the most dangerous weather conditions to drive is ice and rain. I mean, that's, you know, it's just, I guess that's, are they really the only? Anyway, ice and rain pretty bad. When it's raining, I don't know why people drive like assholes. And so I just had to be on high alert. But overall, it was a pretty decent drive. And so I got here, checked into the hotel, took a shower, and then I drove to Troy, New York, which is like a half an hour from from Schenectady and get to this place called Slide and Dirty, which is this bar that started out as a food truck, and it got so popular that they opened a restaurant, and they specialize in sliders. They make different kind of sliders, and we'll get to that a little later. And they open, and they have like a lot of different types of beer and stuff like that. And so we did the show, and it was packed. It was like a shit ton of people there. And before the show started like a little after 9 o'clock, and there were families in there. Like there was a little kid. First of all, there was a family that just walked in, and they were waiting for their table. I think they had to wait. That the wait was pretty long. And there were two little kids they had with them, and I was like, "Oh Jesus!" I was like, I'm still gonna do my act. I mean, I'm not a dirty dude, but I have adult humor, you guys, and so the owner told them, "Oh, you know, there's gonna be a comedy show, and you know things." So they left, and then there was one little kid that was sitting at a table. He was sitting in a stool. And it's just like, why do people bring their kids out that late, like 9 o'clock? I don't know. I'd have no clue. But in a bar, take them to Dinosaur Barbecue or Applebee's. They're kids. We start in this, and it's a loud bar. It's a really nice bar, and it's loud. And I don't know if sometimes you go to those shows. I was thinking, oh shit. This is going to be like one of those guerrilla comedy shows, but they actually promoted the show. Ethan Ullman, who runs a show with Tom Attila Lewis from friend of the podcast. We'll get Ethan on soon. But anyway, so one of the last times I was here, I did pretty much the best comedy show at Proctor's Theater, and Ethan booked me on both of these shows that I did this weekend. And Slide and Dirty, like they did actually promote the show on the radio, and there were quite a few people that came out to see the show, to see the comedy show. But then I think there were a lot of people that didn't know that the show was going to happen. And so the owner said, "Hey, you know, guys, we're going to start a show. We're going to have a comedy show here." And then Ethan started the show. He emceed, and he just like, He's another dude that I would say, like, he's up there with Josh Coderna and Petey Steele, just like a comedy, just a fucking comedy soldier. And he got those motherfuckers like ready to do a show, and he just like did it like methodically and got them open. And then he brought up the next comic, Drea, and she did her thing. And then we had, who else was on the show? Joe Green. Yeah, Joe. He goes by, on Facebook, he's Joseph M. Green. But Joe did his thing. And then, like, you know, parts of them were kind of a little, like, wonky and a little loud. Like, the crowd was kind of loud. Then it's just the acoustics in that room were just off the chain. Like, it was just kind of wild. But, and then I got on stage and I did my thing. It was fun. But it was like one of those shows where it was work. Like it was like, I was kind of fighting with, I don't know. It was just like the sound or whatever it was, but I did 50 minutes and, it was a good time. It was fun. And after the show, people were, "Oh, it was a good show." And the owner was happy. Everybody seemed to enjoy the show. And I don't think, and the people that didn't know was a show, they stayed, and it was really, really fun. I had a good time. And then, so before the show started, I found out that the kitchen closed at like 1 or something. So I was like, okay, I have plenty of time to indulge in these sliders that I've been reading about and hearing about. I think this restaurant is even more popular. It's super popular, and so popular that they're gonna open another location about a half an hour away down in downtown Schenectady. So maybe like sometime next year. So if your travels take you to the capital region of upstate New York, you should definitely check out Slide and Dirty, because everything, like, so the Capital Region, I think that consists of Albany, Troy, and Schenectady. Maybe there's some outlying cities or towns, but for the most part, Troy, Albany, and Schenectady. You should definitely go to this place. I think I had like a pulled pork taco. That was solid. That was good. But the thing that blew me away was the dirty pig. I'm looking at the menu right now. It's a slider called the dirty pig, and it's nine pin braised pulled pork, barbecue sauce, coleslaw, and a fried onion. And oh my God, it was so good. Like, normally I'm just like a burger slider type guy, but a friend of Ethan's, she said, "Oh, I had the dirty pig. You should get that." And I was like, "All right, I'll do it." And I ordered, like, I got it, and then I ordered like two more of them. They were so good. And then I had the Old Faithful, which is like a burger with cheddar, arugula, tomatoes, red onion, pickles, and their dirty secret slider sauce. It was good, man. Like, and I think they just do crazy business. And before the show started, one of the other owners came up in the food truck, and it was like 9 o'clock. I don't know how long they were serving people from the food truck all day, but the food was great. Had a really fun show. It was one of those shows where you're like, oh shit, is this going to turn into is this just going to be a guerrilla comedy show? Is this what this is going to be? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh no. But it was just like a really good fucking time. And it was just through the work of the, because it wasn't an easy show. I was talking to Ethan. I was like, you know, dude, like, that was not an easy show. And like, we all the comics like made that shit happen. Comedy's hard, you guys. It's fucking hard. So that was an awesome night. That was a great way to start the weekend off, and just hung out all night, and then just went to bed, and then got up. And like I told you guys, I was in talks to be a judge for the 5th annual Wing Walk in beautiful downtown Schenectady. And I was like, okay. And it was just, it's so they've been doing this for, this was now the 5th year that they did it. And it's where they, like, the organization, like downtown Schenectady, what are they called? I'll find it for you. Actually, I thought I had TweetDeck up. Bear with me, folks. I'm in a foreign environment. I'm doing this on location, you guys. Where is it at? So downtown Schenectady. So it's like dining, nightlife, shopping, services, entertainment, events, history, downtown Schenectady. We clean, promote, support, and love it. The DSIC. And so it's just like downtown Schenectady.org, and they sponsored the event, and Visit Schenectady sponsored it, and a couple of other organizations in the area. And it's like where people from all over the Capital Region come downtown, and you try these. This year there were 22 restaurants that were involved, and in the downtown area. And the Wing Walk, it was just like you get a ballot, and you just get you go to each place, you get in line, and you try their specific wing that they have. And you go around and you fill out your ballot, and at the end you toss your ballot in, and that's it. And so I was one of four judges, and there were two guys. Oh man, I don't remember their names. There was a Dan and shit. Well, I posted a picture of the dudes on there, and there was one guy, Daniel Berman, who I was with the whole event. And it was Daniel, one of his friends, and Ethan and I. Ethan's a vegetarian, so he was our wet nap man and napkin man. So he was a real sport. He just was hanging out, and we had a great time walking around. But it got to a point. So I'm thinking, like, I didn't know, I really didn't know what to expect doing this. Like, I was like, okay, I'll be a judge. And you get to, you know, you get to cut in line as a judge. And we weren't dicks about it, but there was one place we went to where the line was super long. And we were judges. We had badges and everything. And we were walking up, and they said, oh, you guys are cutting in line. And Daniel Berman is a food blogger. He has his food blog. He's a food blogger, and he works for Yelp Albany. He's a community ambassador. Gonna get him. I'm in talks with him about getting him on the podcast. And I want to hear all the stuff, he cool stuff that he has to say. And it was really fun going with him because he's a food critic. And so he had different opinions on the wings. And I was just kind of giving him shit. I was like, dude, it's a fucking chicken wing. It's good. But he was talking about, like, the texture and the lingering aftertaste. And everybody was just like became like this wing connoisseur. And they were just, oh, you could taste the cumin and all the electrolytes or whatever the fuck. I was like, it's a chicken wing. Either it's good or not. And me just like, it's good. I was just eating them. But there were obvious. Okay, so let me get back. I'm getting off the rails here. So there's one spot, and there was a shit ton of people. Like, there were three restaurant and bars like in a row on one street. But there was one line in particular that was really long. So we were cutting in. People were like, oh, you're cutting in. And, you know, we were like, oh, we're judges. It's fine. It's like, oh, but I'm a judge. And, you know, people just being assholes about it. And and one person said, well, but we'll get our wings before you. No, you probably won't. And we did. So that was interesting. And then there was one place where we went to, this place called, I think it was called 151 or Fire. It was a cool place. It was a nice bar. And it was sort of like, it was fun. It was funny because there was this bar and all these people eating wings. And it was next to a yoga studio, next to a CrossFit place. And as we were walking out, I just saw these really two buff dudes. And I was like, fuck you guys, you know. Taking care of your bodies, you fucking assholes. That was kind of funny to me. And we had a good time, but there was a point where it was just like, oh God, this became too much. Because you're thinking like 22 wings. I've eaten 20 wings before, but normally if I was doing something like that, I would get, usually when I go to Hooters, it would be like, okay, I'm getting 20 wings, but I'm going to eat 10 of them. And then the next day I'll eat the other 10. Like that, you know, I wouldn't just like kill that like right away. Even though I'm a fat guy, I have dignity. You know what I'm saying? And, but there's some days where you become, I'm talking about this on stage, but there's something when you just like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. That was bad. And you know, you feel it. You're just like, Jesus Christ, that was. And I got to a point because I was thinking like, oh, we're walking, we're hanging up. There's one part where there's one place, I forget the name of the bar, but they had these, they call them splitters. And I guess there's like these little small, bottles of beer. Maybe it's like when you, the thing that it reminded me of, like when you get a bucket of beers sometimes and you get like the mini beers, maybe they're 8 to 12 ounces, something like that. I don't know. And we got, Ethan and I got two Rolling Rocks and they were like $2. And that was kind of like a good hit. I haven't had a Rolling Rock in a long time. And that was cool. So we did that. And then at one bar at Center Street Pub where I ended up performing, last night, they had these, they had a Crown Royal, dude, how do we say it? Black Twitter. Is it Crown Royale? Black Twitter, really, they just say Crown. There was a Crown, representative at, Center Street Pub, and they had all these different types of whiskey, and they had like an apple, they had vanilla and something else, and then like a maple. And I tried the maple. That shit, it tastes just like maple syrup. It tasted like you could just pour that over your pancakes. just, and it was good, just like a little small shot, and that was good. And it was just fun, but it just, it got to a point where it was wearing me down, and then I had to go do a show. So I took a shower and I walked over and did the show. It was like the second show was just like maybe like eight people there, and but I had a really good time. Like I just like I, because it's one of those when there's a small crowd, you just, you kind of feel like sometimes you want to just, I'm going to do my act and get the fuck out of here. But there was a point where I was just talking about dating and relationships. And there was like a set of guys on one side and then the women on the other. And like there was this one middle-aged woman I was talking to. I was like, oh, you guys married? And one would say, I am. And the other, there was another woman, like she was just kind of like being really awkward. And I was like, what's going on? Like, you're either with somebody or you're not. And I wasn't really being a dick about it. I was like, what's going on? Like, what's the story? And she was like, well, I'm on my way out. Like, I'm this got this exit strategy going on. I was like, does he know about it? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, damn, this is more interesting. Because she was like being like apprehensive. And I was like, what's going on? Shit, this is interesting than any, more interesting than anything I'm fucking saying right now. So what's going on? And we started talking about that and just, I was like just talking to the audience, and it was just like another, it's like when a comedy, I think I was talking to some comics maybe like a couple weeks ago, and it's definitely, comedy is like an RPG. Comedy is like a role playing game. Ladies, I don't want your vaginas to dry up, but it's like Final Fantasy, or like more like, it's kind of like Legend of Zelda, more like Final Fantasy, where you get your experience points, where these things happen to you while you're on stage, and you can either run away from them and try to cover it up, and then you just, maybe you don't, and you don't grow, or you could let a moment happen and you have something that happens that'll never, may never happen again, but maybe you get different variations of it. So when it presents itself to you, you know how to handle it. So it was really cool, and that made that set fun, where you could just have the attitude that, you know, oh, this is only seven or eight people. And I told him, I was like, you know, I joked about it being a light crowd at first, but then I was just saying like, hey, you guys, it's a small but mighty crowd. And they were like, woo, they were in it, they were engaged. And I kind of, and there was one moment, like, I guess like the culmination of two moments during my set, where it was like, I did a callback, and then after the show, one of the guys, one of the audience members was like, oh, you could set, I like your callback to whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. Like, so he noticed that. And it was a fun, like, it was just a fun set. 'Cause you, at my level where I'm at, you don't really get a chance to stretch and do 45 or 50 minutes. And, you know, so it, I'm getting to the point where I'm doing more longer sets and having more fun and trying to figure stuff out. And it's just, it was a really good fucking weekend. It was productive. Shout out to Ethan Ullman and then the Wing Walk folks, the Downtown Schenectady, Visit Schenectady, and all those cool people. It was really awesome. Thursday night, it was good. Thursday night, I did a show at the Kilkenny Ale House, the Brick City Comedy Review. I think it's called the Brick City Comedy Review. And Justin Williams, the friend of the podcast, and Steve Sarah host that event, that show, and they do it monthly in Newark, New Jersey. And I headlined that show. And again, that was the second week in a row that I had done something in Newark. And it was just like, the crowd was just really, like, they were just really there for a good time. And they let me take them where I wanted to take them. And I was trying to work on some new stuff about, like, talking about Kaepernick and the flag and all that shit and the anthem. And just kind of, it was just really fun. And I could be, they let me be a little experimental, and 2 weeks in a row, like, because that was Newark is kind of, I would say that Newark is a place that cultivated my comedy, because when I wasn't getting booked on anything, every week I would just, I would say like 2010, 2011, I would say, I would just go down to Newark because I had a buddy that ran an open mic, and he would just let me do time, and sometimes, you know, I'd do 15, sometimes a half hour, and I would bomb or do well or just experiment and stuff. So Newark was definitely like, is just really, which is a really cool, like, I've had really good sets there, like recently, the last couple of weeks, and it was fun. So that's comedy talk, and I'll be around, check the calendar on in the city, and some big stuff coming up that I'm not going to promote yet, because it's not until December, but it's stuff I'm prepping for, so you'll probably see stuff pop up, and if you're interested in coming to a show. But there's a big one that I will be bugging you about in the near future. So that was comedy. That was fun. I didn't get to watch much college. I didn't watch really any college football. When I was at the bar, I saw that North Carolina, they beat Florida State. That was pretty dope. And that was a close game. I saw Clemson almost lose. Kind of like mad at Dabo Swinney. Is it Dabo Sweeney or Swinney? I'm looking at Dabo with the side eye because of that bullshit that he said about Colin Kaepernick. He's like, well, if you don't like it, you know, you can get out. We got a black president, black bankers, black janitors, just naming black every occupation you could have as a black shoe shine people. And if you don't like it, you can get out. It's like, you fucking asshole. Like, and Bomani Jones even said, like, how do you look at your, I think he walked some of it back because it was like, how do you justify that? And then you got black dudes, young black men playing for you. How do you think that makes them feel? You know, it's just like, I think we're having somebody coined it like the woke Olympics, where everybody, if they're not 100% woke, fuck you. Like LeBron James got it this week because he was trying to say, like, he was trying to talk about, he said all lives matter. And that's definitely a trigger word. You cannot say all lives matter. And the black Twitter will just consume you. But he was talking about his fear for his son, who's 12 years old and is going to be 16 and driving soon and all this stuff. And he was just trying to be really careful. And it just, I'm not in their shoes. I'm not in a position where anybody really gives a shit about what I think, but we project so much on our black entertainers and celebrities, and you want them, people that have platforms, you want them to have some sense of awareness about what's affecting everyday people. And part of me feels some kind of way about LeBron, because LeBron's doing all this great shit for the community. Like, when everybody was talking about the decision, he did that. And yeah, it was a spectacle, but he raised a few million dollars for the Boys and Girls Club. You know, I don't think he's not conscious of what's going on, but he didn't really say anything about Tamir Rice. It was just kind of, and that happened in his backyard. You know, it happened in Cleveland. It is kind of weird, but then at the same time, he's sending all these kids to school, you know, this college and everything, and he's doing a lot of great shit. So I really don't look at LeBron with a side eye or anything. It just seems like there's a, and you know, listening to Lebatard talk about it, he's in a position where I've got so much and I could not really give a fuck about what you think or what you want to try to take away from me, because I have so much. I'm LeBron James. And if you take something away from me, like endorsements, I can get those back. I get that back on the other end, all the stuff that he's got with Nike. So it's just kind of weird. And then Cam Newton, who's not as eloquent as LeBron James, who's also done, also always does, also does stuff for the community. He does stuff for the community like that. That just makes it just like I was listening to the Black Guy Who Tips, and I was hearing Rod. He threw some shade at Cam Newton, but he didn't. And he said, "Oh man, that's my nigga, man. That's my, you know." So I was like, "All right, man," because the podcast king, even though he gives Cam Newton shit, you know, he still recognizes that, you know, he still has that love for him. So that made me feel good hearing Rod say that, and I know how he feels because I feel the same way about Cam. But again, he's trying to please so many people, and you're really not. I really don't think you grow as a person until you get to the age where you get to the point where you're just like, everybody's not gonna like me. I can't please everybody. They didn't like me when I was, you know, being unapologetically Black, and then you have people not like you when you're trying to straddle the fence. And Bomani Jones brought it up. Lebatar brought it up about that, this kid from football player from Nebraska who knelt, him and a couple of other teammates knelt during the national anthem, and people were like, oh, you should get kicked off the team, you should be hung, all this insanely racist shit that was being said to these kids. And they're unpaid athletes with everything to lose. And this kid, maybe 19, 20 years old, is speaking at a press conference at one of the biggest college football programs in the country. If this guy has the balls to say it, why not Cam Newton? Why not LeBron? Why not any other athlete? So that's the point that just made me say, well, fuck, man, they really should be saying something. These guys should say something. And then, you know, you had the coaches like, the most woke, like Steve Kerr said something maybe last month, or I don't know when he said that. There's Dabo's on the screen right now. I got SportsCenter on mute. All my Black players, help me. Anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, like, so Steve Kerr said something that was woke. I forget what it was. And Popovich, I posted what he was talking about, like just like the systematic stuff, and people don't want to talk about it. And I think these guys inherently know about stuff because they're working with Black. They've made a living with work by working for these Black dudes that bust their ass to get them these paychecks and these million dollar checks. And it's, why would you not? You can't be so out of touch to not realize that. And it was just something that it was really dope. And I always like, and Popovich, like, he doesn't really talk to, Popovich is always funny because he's very short and curt with reporters and stuff. And it's funny. People like, they'll retweet stuff that he says during in between quarters and shit like that. And it's funny, but I was like, damn, Pop is woke as fuck. I'm going to start using the Spurs in 2K, young. Like, this dude is, like, for real. And that's good to see. And it's the NBA players. And I think it's different for the NBA because these dudes are so, they don't have any helmets on. And you can see their faces and you know who these dudes are. And the, you know, like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who did, formerly Chris Jackson, who did it, who, you know, did he didn't kneel, but he didn't stand, I think. He didn't even stand for the national anthem. And he pretty much lost his fucking career. Like, I remember that vividly. I was like, damn, you know, and he protested. And I think there was some interview, excuse me, like a recent interview where he was speaking on it. I have to look at it. Maybe I'll just Google him and try to find it. But that's some powerful shit in the NBA where you do have, where the NFL, I was having this conversation with Ray Sani like earlier this year. We were talking about the difference between basketball and football, and like how it's just kind of like how it's viewed. Because the face of the NFL for the longest time was their quarterbacks. And really the face of the NFL was Peyton Manning for the longest time. He's always, that dude, Peyton Manning is selling, he's a pitch man for Otterbox phone cases. This nigga retired and he got even more endorsements. And he's questioned to have used steroids. It's just that, it's just like, great to be white, man. He's, you know, he's whatever, man. Great court, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but it's just kind of like double standard, two Americas, not surprising. But Otterbox, this dude had an Otterbox commercial. I was like, damn, dog, do you when is it gonna be enough money for you? Do you really need that? Could you have let Kirk Cousins get that Otterbox money? Nah, he won it all himself. He getting that Otterbox money, dog. And now it's Cam Newton, and it's a black dude. It's a good-looking black guy that's become the face of the NFL. And you know, they got the guy, the consultant, Frank Luntz. And it's not really surprising because that was the owner for the Panthers was saying when Cam Newton first got in the league, he's like, oh, cut your hair or blase skip. I don't want you to get any tattoos and all that shit. And just like, So that's not surprising. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'd like to think, but see, and I think sometimes black Twitter put so many expectations on, damn, that's a hell of an interception. This kid from Michigan just grabbed a fucking interception with one hand, diving. I guess it's Jordan Lewis, Michigan cornerback. My God. Wow. Pay these fucking kids, man. So they won 14-7. That was a all-out brawl then. Where was I going with that? We put so many expectations on these athletes that I don't even think we would put ourselves, I don't think we would even do ourselves. I would like to think that if I was a player of Cam Newton's caliber or LeBron James's caliber, that I would be speaking out on this shit. I mean, maybe like, even if I stood for the anthem, I'm writing about this, so I'm not really going to. Even if I stood for the anthem, I would still be outspoken about it. But like then I saw like Draymond said, what is it going to do? Like, what are we going to do now? It's like, Draymond, shut your dick grabbing ass up, dick puncher. And he was just like, what are we going to do about it now that we said it? But the thing is, you got people talking about this uncomfortable stuff, this stuff that's been uncomfortable for people to talk about for so long. And we're just America's in this climate where we're just, things are just getting out of hand. And, you know, and then I could even argue that a lot of this police brutality stuff, man, has been going on for a long time. We just got cameras now. And that's something that everybody, most people that have been woke for, shit, I was woke when I was 12 years old, man. After I read Malcolm X, I knew what the deal was, man. But then you can be too woke where you just don't really, you don't have any fun. So I got to a point where I kind of want to have fun. I don't know. But you just always have to be, it's just something I live with. It's something that I never had to put on. And then sometimes but the danger in that is you don't want to get complacent or you don't want to be jaded. You just never want to really lose touch. And I think, you know, I was listening to the dudes on, the homies on, the Hot Firestarter podcast, and they were kind of talking about, you know, like some I don't even remember who it was, but some prominent DJ like said some stupid shit, and it's like, yeah, you just because you don't live in the same neighborhoods anymore, you don't you're living a better life than you used to, doesn't mean that you should just lose touch and just say stupid shit. And then when you elevate yourself in your professional life, I guess there's more to lose, and I'm not in that situation yet, but at the same time, you want to enjoy the fruits of your labor, but you don't want to lose touch. Like, I mean, you want to have your feet on the ground. You want to be 10 toes down, young. So that's where the danger is, I guess. But yeah, man, I really appreciate what Colin Kaepernick is doing and continues to do. I wish he was healthy, because he's not healthy, because he's still injured. Because there's no way Blaine Gabbert is better. There's no way that Blaine Gabbert is a better quarterback, and he would be out there. I think he would even be out there if he like had more weight on him, because he got injured, then he lost a lot of weight. Also, shout out to Chip Kelly too, who after Riley Coopergate, after I'll fight all you niggers here, two of them that were the security officers, maybe one or two. That dude, you know, somebody was asking him at a press conference maybe 2 weeks ago, oh, what do you think about Kaepernick? You think it's a distraction? He's like, no, it's not a distraction to the team. No, it's not. If you don't want to talk about it, why would you ask him questions about it? You know, he was just being really forthright to the reporter, and was just like, no, why would you even, if you don't want him to talk about it, why would you ask him? He's just basically really curt with him. He was Popovich like, and just kind of, he did some verbal judo to that reporter and wanted to insinuate that it was a distraction for the team, when in all honesty, I think maybe that unified the team with Kaepernick. So it's a fucking great thing that he's doing. And you know, you want to talk about Ali and you want to give tribute to him, but it's like, I forget who said that. I think it might have been Wilbon, but people didn't start loving Ali until he couldn't talk anymore. He couldn't talk his shit. And then now he was like this beloved, adorable teddy bear. And you talk about all this shit when he, you know, what he stood for. Because while he was doing it, motherfucker, people had a problem with that shit. And now that he's gone, like, oh, he was this and that. You know, they always change the narrative, you know, once, when they feel like it, when it makes them feel good, or they can talk about Martin Luther King and, you know, all this bullshit. There was this really funny, there's this show called Superstore on NBC, and it's about like these employees that work at a Walmart type store, and it's basically Walmart. And the employees were on strike, and the two leads were talking about, you know, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the white dude, there's a white character, was like, and as the great Martin Luther King once said, and there's a black character, he was like, no, no. And then he was like, and then the other guy was like, all right, okay. It was just so funny. If I can find it. I think I did put a clip on Instagram. This is like the time, and I think I've told you about this before. Like, listen to the show. I have a buddy, my best friend, one of my best friends since junior high. We would be talking on the phone. He said, "Yo, this song's dope as fuck." And then he would put a, I don't think we said dope as fuck, because they say that now. But he's like, "Oh, this song is dope. It's whatever, whatever." And he would put the speaker up to the phone, and you couldn't really hear anything. And I was like, "Yeah, man, dude, I can't hear that, dude. Just I don't. Where the hell is it? I posted it. Oh man, did it get deleted or something? That's weird. Oh no, here it is. Let me see if I can turn the volume up. I'll find Okay, so I'm going to click on this. Hopefully it works. There's a speaker.
That's right. As Dr. Martin Luther King once said, no is right. We'll see you tomorrow.
So that was, if you could hear that, that was, he's like, no, don't do that. And I did a little recorder thing. I don't know if it's illegal or not. I did a little recorder thing and posted it on Instagram and Facebook. But yeah, man. So that's my take on it. And I just saw that I posted it to my Facebook page, the Greg Popovich thing. If I can find, let me scroll down. I got like so much stuff on here. If I can find it, I'll tell you what it is. I'm scrolling. Okay. It was from allblackmedia.com. Spurs coach Greg Popovich says white people don't understand what blacks go through. Damn. Yeah, some of them don't. And it's racism, and then it's being dismissive of black people, or it's just being when any type of group or is in power, or like they'll just be dismissive of it, and they don't have any empathy. They never say, "Oh, what if I was in that particular situation? How would I feel?" And that's basically what he was talking about. I think it's like two or three clips of it where he's talking about it and shit. So, yeah, that was really. I just like to see that, because just as a fan, somebody who's loved sports since he was a kid, and like most people my age, most Americans, you know, the NFL and the NBA and the MLB are billion-dollar businesses for a reason, and because a lot of people like the shit. So when you see these people take these stances, it's fucking great. But it's just like, you know, you have old people like Mike Dick is, "Oh, you can get out of this country." That's being dismissive. It's being a little racist. So when you have these people that they're more, these people are humans, and they're more than just disposable positions on a football. They're more than just your little chess pieces for your entertainment. And it's great to know that, you know, obviously that these people have conscious minds, and it's fucking great because it's making people pay attention. Sports is the great equalizer. It brings people together, and I'm just glad that it's causing dialogue. I think it's fucking great, and I don't see this ending at all. I don't see an end in sight for Kaepernick's protest, or people just being more aware of what's going on. And I think a lot of that change happens through sports, you know? So I'll never stop saying black quarterbacks or, you know, whatever. I really, it means something to me. And I think Rod even said, maybe he said last week, "Ah, shit, what did he say?" He said, "If you're a black man, if you're a black dude," something along the lines of, "and you love sports, you're gonna be pro black. You're gonna just it's just no getting around it, you know." Yeah, but it doesn't mean that you're just gonna be super racist about it, but I enjoy, like, you just enjoy the game, and I don't know, when you get older, you start to think more about these things, and it's like a veil gets lifted. Like, I used to love college sports, and now I look at it like I look at Dabo. Just kind of look at it with the side eye. Like, man, I want these kids to do well. All of them aren't going to play in the NFL, you know, but you want the ones that have a shot to get every opportunity, because they're not getting paid and they're busting their ass for it. And it's just something that, you know, a lot of people are eating off of it, off the backs of those kids. So, all right, let's lighten it up a little bit. Talk about some music, and I'll get the fuck out of here because I got to get on the road. A bunch of music this week. I'll save what I think is amazing for last. But so Solange just kind of dropped an album out of nowhere that I didn't know about. But she had this has this album out called A Seat at the Table, and I listened to most of it like while I was on my while I was getting ready for the show last night. And my God, like that album, like gosh darn it, my that album is black as fuck. And it's super black, and it's really good. Like she's not. What I like about Solange, like I've always, you know, and her music has been good. I don't really know much about her music. I know that she's made good music. I know that, you know, just hearing offhand, like over maybe within the last 5 to 10 years or so, in between that time frame where people were just like, yo, that Solange is dope. Like I wasn't checking for her, but this album is going to make me go back and try to listen to her other stuff. And she's just really good. And she doesn't, it doesn't seem like she's in, she's obviously in the shadow of Beyonce. Beyonce is just a fucking icon. I remember when I was in high school and maybe 1997 when No 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 came out. And I was like, this is my generation's Destiny's Child is they, I kind of grew up with them in a way. Like they were like 16, 17. Beyonce's what, like a year or two younger than me, I think. And I was like, oh, these girls are hot. And then when Beyonce went solo, I was like, yeah, that's probably, yeah, I get it. And she just became this icon, megastar, the biggest star, one of the biggest star in the world, if not the biggest star in the world. And then you got a sister that's also, she's got a sister, Solange, that's also really talented. And it doesn't seem, it seems like she's comfortable in her own skin and doing her own thing and not trying to be Beyonce 2.0. And she's just being who she is. And this music that she's making is really good. It's just, it's sonically pleasing. She's got a good voice, and then the stuff, the content of what she's talking about, like she's got clips of people saying, I love being black, I love who, you know, and it's really cool. So I haven't really gotten to digest the whole project, but just walking around, taking a shower, getting ready, I was like, damn, this girl got some good shit. And I see people, I saw Tracee Ellis Ross on Twitter with the little mimicking or doing a, I guess mimicking the album cover of Solange. Is just like a picture of Solange with barrettes in her hair or hair clips. It's some black shit, and it's really dope. So I like that. I listen to, there's an artist that Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres. Her name is Banks. He tweeted about her, and I think he went to a concert because he's also a photographer, and he took a picture. I was like, oh, is this girl? How do you feel about her? He says, oh, she's dope. And I checked her out, and like she's just a good singer. I don't know where she's from. Where is Banks from? Is she from the UK? She's got an album out called The Altar. And I was just listening to it driving to work, and like I have some coworker that carpools with me, so we're talking. But I just like the vibe of it, and she's legit. She's good. Where is she from? Oh, she's from Orange County. She's a USA girl. Okay, because sometimes you have these. All it just seems like a lot of these artists, some of the more popular artists, are just randomly from the UK. And I was reading, I think a couple of weeks ago, talking about R&B soul music. I named a lot of people from the UK, and I felt like I was kind of being a douche by saying, oh, these guys are good. They're from the UK, though, so I don't know if you know about them, but that's just how it is. And then I'm pretty limited in, just because I listen to a lot of podcasts more than I listen to music these days. It's been like that for maybe the past 8 years or so. You know, it's been like that for quite some time. And then music just doesn't come in as much as I'd like it to. I don't let it, it takes a while for me to let it in, and I always, like most of you guys know, I'm listening to music sometime, most of the time when I'm driving or when I'm playing video games. Like if I'm playing 2K, I'll try to digest an album that way and like, oh, this is good. This thing that came out 3 years ago is really good that people might have been talking about. And so Banks is good. So I'm listening to that. I'll definitely listen to that again. One of my favorite MCs, Blue, came out with this EP called Open Your Eyes with this producer named Fate. And that's solid. It's called Open Your Optics to Optimism. And Blue's one of my favorite rappers. He raps his ass off and he's dope. But there's some moments where he's like kind of doing like a poetry thing, and it's like, Blue, come on, what are you doing, buddy? Just rap, dude. Rap Dope. He's got a song called Rap Dope that I like. And that's good. I listen to that. I've actually been listening to a lot of music this week, and he has another project called with a producer named Knots. I think it's Knotz. I think Blue and Knots. No, fuck. It's just Knots. Knotz called Titans in the Flesh that came out recently. Yeah, that's good. Been listening to that. And the homie, friend of the podcast, Don Will, he dropped an EP, finally dropped his EP. And it came, I think, when did he do it? When did it come out? I want to say he put it out like, God, I think he put it out like Monday or Tuesday of last week. And it's called Stop Waiting. I just want to make sure that I got the, come on, every time. Here we go. Yeah, it's called Stop Waiting. And it's got like, it's trying to come on now. You can hear that in the background. How many songs does he have? 5 songs. He produced it all himself. And there's really, I like all the songs, but there's like a segment, maybe like the last 3 tracks, where he kind of melds like outside stuff going on in his neighborhood, and he makes like the beat comes in and it's fucking dope. I remember him tweeting maybe a few months ago where he said something like, I'm just going to make the sound part of the album, part of my EP or whatever. And it's really dope. Like I was texting him, I was saying, yo man, this is dope. I love the production. He's like, oh, thanks man. I'm glad you do. Cause I did it myself. You know, we were kind of going back and forth with that. And, he's dope, man. And I'm glad that he's doing more of his shit himself and putting his shit out there. And I think they got some more stuff coming out, like his with the Legendary Crew. He was telling me like the Legendary project made everybody sort of just kind of step their game up. And I think that's important too as artists. You have other people that are around you, your peers, and they push you to be better. And I think that's really dope. So Don Will, it's on Bandcamp, wherever you buy music, really. And so I like it, man. He's a buddy. I'm not just saying that because he's my buddy, but I like that, you know, he does cool shit and he's a nice dude. So check it out. Don Will, Stop Waiting. Fanboy stuff. Apollo Brown and Sky Zoo released this project called The Easy Truth. And it's a project that they did in less than a week. Like they worked together. And it's really like, Sky Zoo to me is just a generational great. And anything that dude does, I'm gonna check for it. And I'll, you know, be excited to listen to his project. And Apollo Brown is a Detroit producer. He's done stuff with Raz Kaz, Big Pooh, you name it. He's done shit with like some Odyssey. I think he did something with Odyssey. Maybe I'm stretching that, but I think they did they're like, they release a lot of shit on Bandcamp and Mellow Music and stuff like that. So maybe they cross paths. I don't know. Apollo Brown's fucking awesome. I like a lot of his shit. When I heard the first song, like the first single, maybe like August or July or something, this song called One in the Same, with just like this, really just this piano riff and Patty Crash singing on the hook. It's just like really mellow and it's just dope. And just listen to this album. I looked at this interview that he and Apollo Brown were doing. I think it might have been like a, it was just like a listening party, a clip of them introducing the album, and they did this listening party. And the way that Sky Zoo works, he writes in the studio. So he gets the beat, and he listens to the beat and he writes to it. And Apollo was like, yeah, you know, I don't really work like that. You want to have you write in some stuff, because we only have, I guess they just had a short amount of time to do the project. And Sky Zoo was like, look, dude, I got you. I'm going to come there. And he had to convince Apollo Brown that, you know, this is how I work. And I mean, fuck, you know, his track record is, what, 10 years deep now. So, I mean, obviously, Apollo, I mean, Sky Zoo's going to do what he said. He's going to do it well. So they agreed to do the project, and then they just, I think they finished it ahead of schedule. And it's just, it's so good. It's just Sky Zoo to me, and he did the show, and I learned from my experience of having Fonte on the show, where I was more of a stan on the Fonte episode than the Sky Zoo episode, where I was a little more controlled. But the thing about Sky Zoo is that the lyricism is great, and he obviously talks about how dope he is, but there's just this measured, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like this measured dominance over a beat, where it's like Sky Zoo, he blacked out on this album, but he was still in control at the same time. And there's this one song, this really creative fucking song. So I'll say like one of the most creative songs of hip hop rap songs of this year, I would say, is 2:16 by Elzai and Hello. Both songs by Elzai off of Lead Poison. And the thing about, so obviously listen to those songs. I nerded out about that on, I think, the bonus episode that I did with Low Standard. So I think you could hear me nerd out over Elzai on that episode, back in March. And those songs are dope. Now, there's this interview, I think it was on The Orchard, and I retweeted it, so it's somewhere in my timeline, where they're interviewing them. It's like a 7-minute video clip. And they've got this song called On the Stretch and Bob Show. Now, Stretch Armstrong and Bob Beto, they had this really good documentary. I don't want to sound like a douche and then not, or pretentious and then not get it right, but Stretch and Bobito had this show where, like, back in the day, like all the greats like Biggie and everybody came to visit this radio show, and they would drop a freestyle and they'd talk about their projects that they had coming up. Biggie, before he blew up, went on this show and killed it. Jay-Z, you name it. I think it's a Showtime documentary. I believe that I talked about it. Anyway, it's a seminal show that is a part of the fabric of hip hop. So Sky Zoo said that when I was a kid, you know, I always wanted to be on that show. I wasn't old enough to be on that show, and I wish that I could be on that show and just like recreate it. So what Apollo Brown did, like, he cut up these, like, he made this song as if Sky Zoo was a guest on the Stretch and Bob show, and Sky Zoo did like a rap to it. And it's fucking brilliant. Like, it's so fucking good. And it's just like, damn. And like, he was saying, like, Sky Zoo was saying, I don't want to tell anybody about it, like, while I'm doing it, while we're doing it. I just want them to hear about it and say, yo, did you hear what Sky Zoo did about on this song? And it's really fucking cool. And it's so creative. I think that's probably, I would say, just coming from doing a wing contest, judging a wing competition. There were these different categories, like best overall wing, best texture, best rub, most creative. So if you think about like all the records on this song, this album, The Easy Truth, it's like that's the most creative and probably the best. So you see, there's another song that's like this album. Like, I've listened to it maybe two or three times since it's been released, and it's sort of like I could see where there's some standout songs that I would just go to and just like I would pull a couple of these and put them on my playlist, my hip hop playlist that I listen to before shows or whatever. A few of these songs would get added or whatever. So, but on the Stretch and Bob show, like, it's fucking creative. So if you have other songs that you think have been the most creative of this year, like hip hop songs or anything in general, but hip hop, because I just think what these guys do with these words, and I just think these guys are so cool. So let me know, hit me up, tweet me, and let me know what you think your favorite hip hop songs are. Let me know what your favorite songs of the year are so far, and what you think are the most creative. So I'll say for this, so I've said Elzai's Lead Poison, 216's and Hello, and now this on the Stretch and Bob show, Sky Zoo and Apollo Brown, The Easy Truth. I think it's good. I highly recommend it. Sky Zoo's been on the show. I'm a stan, but a reserved stan of Sky Zoo and Fonte. But man, that fucking what's that record? Tigolero. You know, it's like people, like he said, like Fonte said that he was gonna put out another solo record, but he's already given us, like, I'm as a fan of his, like, he's given us Tigolero, he's given us Tales from the Land of Milk and Honey, he's done a couple records on with Zoe, and it's like, okay, he's doing, like, I know he's working on The Breaks and doing all this other cool shit, and he's touring, he'll get to that, but he's given us some good content within the last 2 years. So it's not like he's one of those dudes that's just like, I'm gonna make you wait, like Frank Ocean, and then nobody's talking about Frank Ocean now, you know. But whatever. Frank Ocean's good, you know, come on. All right, shit, Jesus. All right, so that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. And I've given you an hour and eight. I didn't know that I was going to pull that out. I'll pull that off, you guys. So that's episode 187. And thanks so much for listening, guys. I've got some things in store that I want to do for you guys. And so I want got some cool shit that I think is going to come up. And I'm trying to expand a little. I'm just going to try to make the show even better than it already is, you guys. So things are in the works. So without further ado, just want to thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Take it easy.